What is your first Jewish memory? When is the first time that you realized that you were Jewish? Simonchik, a 23-year-old Lithuanian, first realized that he was Jewish while playing in the playground nearby his home in Lithuania's capital, Vilna. In those days, Lithuania was part of the Soviet Union, and the communist authorities did their best to eradicate the religious identities of its citizens. Ironically, while religion struggled to survive, anti-Semitism thrived. The few Jews who had survived the Nazis and their willing collaborators once again struggled under Soviet rule. One day, towards the fall of the Soviet Union, Simonchik took his toy car to the neighborhood playground. There he encountered two older bullies. The bullies told him that dirty Jews had no place in Lithuania. They then beat him up and broke his toy car. In the free world, mezuzot and Shabbat candlesticks remind Jews of their religious identities. Under the Soviets, Simonchik's family would not dare to display such items. Simonchik's only daily reminder of his Jewish identity was that broken toy car. He treasured that broken toy car for many years. I met Simonchik this past week on a trip to the Baltics. At the invitation of Jewish Federation, a partner in the revitalization of Jewish life, Rabbi Dan Graber and I were invited to teach and explore current Jewish life in the Baltics. In many ways, what I experienced in the Baltics mirrors the idealized Jewish life cycle. First birth, then life and death, followed by resurrection. In the second half of the 18th century, Vilna emerged as the center of Jewish life in the world. The most prominent Jew of that era was the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Elijah ben Salman Zalman. The Vilna Gaon would study for more than 20 hours a day. During the day, he would close the shutters on his window and study by candlelight. In order to ward off sleep, he would stick his feet in ice water, even during the harshest of winters. The Vilna Gaon's dedication to study became legendary. His unyielding demand for intellectual integrity served as his legacy and as the ideological foundation for many of the great yeshivot of Eastern Europe. These yeshivot prospered as the Jewish community in the Baltics continued to grow. By the turn of the 20th century, there were close to 64,000 Jews in Vilna, forming over 41% of the total population. Religious life was not the sole beneficiary of the Jewish population boom. Yiddish and Hebrew literature, theater, the Socialist Bund Party, and Hebrew printing all maintained a prominent place in Vilna. While Vilna did indeed earn its nickname, the Jerusalem of Lithuania, Judaism flourished throughout the region. In Kovno, at its height, 5 Jewish daily newspapers were printed, and Jews comprised over 40% of the population. In Vilna, a prominent Jewish community filled the streets. This community of light and learning was destroyed. Now, 70,000 Jews share mass graves in the forest and the neighboring Punar, where the Vilna Jewish community was slaughtered by the Nazis. At the age of 7, the Vilna Gaon gave a legendary Talmudic discourse in the city's central synagogue. This building no longer stands. It too was destroyed. A recently erected monument in an empty courtyard is all that is left. In Riga, the historical Hebrew theater now serves as a soup kitchen. Here, a saintly woman named Chana Friedlander provides the elderly Jews with 2 hot meals a day and an occasional food package. I have led you on a journey from the height of Jewish life to its demise. Baruch Hashem, thank God, this is not the end of the story. As this region continues to emerge from the shadows of Soviet oppression and into the light of freedom, Jewish life struggles to reemerge. While Aliyah to Israel is an option that many choose, a small group of Jews stay and dedicate themselves to re-energizing Jewish life. No longer a little boy with a broken toy car, Simonchik currently serves as the director of Olameinu, a Jewish summer camp. While other jobs offer more money, Simonchik has made his choice. This means that he cannot afford his own apartment. He shares a room with his brother in his parents' home. Yet Simonchik feels an obligation to serve the Jewish community. He pours his heart and soul into his work, and it pays off. Over 400 Jewish children attended the camp last year. Like America, these children spend their whole year in anticipation of camp. There are, of course, many activities throughout the year as well. Jewish communities throughout the Baltics establish religious schools, youth clubs, and dance troupes. Natasha, a 20-year-old university student who hopes to dedicate her life to Israeli dance, teaches many of these troops. Natasha is unlike most teachers I have ever met. After completing an all-night shift as a telemarketer in order to help her single mother pay the rent, Natasha takes a 4-hour bus ride to teach Israeli dancing in a remote community. After the 1-hour class, she gets back on the bus for another 4-hour trip back to Vilna. This energy and dedication amongst the Jewish youth is energizing the adults. After 50 years of life in a religious vacuum under Soviet rule, many Jews are slowly returning to explore their Jewish roots. I had the privilege of spending this past Shabbat with over 500 Jews gathered from throughout the Baltics for Limud, a conference dedicated to Jewish learning and exploration. I am proud to say that this conference was made possible by the Los Angeles Jewish Federation, and particularly because of the vision of one lay leader, Nathan Sandler, a member of Sinai Temple. This year marked the second year of the Limud Conference. Just to provide some perspective on the extent of this achievement, before this conference, the last time Jews from this part of the world gathered together were in the Nazi ghettos and death camps. In the Amidah, our essential prayer, we proclaim, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye HaMeitim. Praised are you, God, who gives life to the dead. As I said these words every day during my journey, they took on a new meaning. For I believed that I was indeed witnessing a rebirth. Of course, this rebirth is not without problems. Institutional religious life still struggles in the Baltics. While Chabad immediately descended upon the Baltics after the fall of the Soviet Union, other Jewish denominations are entirely absent. There is no conservative, reform, or modern Orthodox presence. There is Chabad, and that is at best a mixed blessing. Because of their monopoly on Jewish religious life, Chabad has thrust themselves into position of power, even assuming the position of rabbi in several of the synagogues. For 50 years, the one remaining synagogue in Vilna stayed open despite the presence of the Soviets. Now, in an era where Jews are free to gather and pray, the synagogue is closed. This article from Republika, Lithuania's second largest newspaper, reports that the local Chabad rabbi attempted to physically take over the synagogue. The police needed to be called to restore order. In an attempt to avoid further violence, the leadership of the community decided to close the synagogue. In Riga, the capital of Latvia, the central synagogue's executive director confessed that he does not care for the Chabad rabbi, and the majority of members of the community share this sentiment. I was confused. If this is the case, I inquired, why does Chabad publicity and pictures of the deceased Rebbe hang in the synagogue? Further, why does this rabbi serve as the rabbi of the synagogue? The director sadly looked at me. This is the only rabbi we have. Nobody else is here. Chabad has callously forced themselves upon the Baltic communities in a grab for power. In a region where 400 children attend a Jewish summer camp, 500 people attend a Jewish learning conference, and thousands of others begin to explore their Jewish roots, Chabad is the only religious option. Our absence means that the only model of Judaism presented to this nascent and blossoming community is fundamentalist. We are missing a wonderful opportunity in the Baltics. I can't imagine if provided with more open, embracing models of Judaism, the endless possibilities. Jewish life once thrived in the Baltics. the study of Torah, Yiddish, Jewish theater, Hebrew, and Zionism. The Nazis completely destroyed this rich life and murdered almost all of the Jews in the region. The surviving Jews were subjected to almost 50 years of religious oppression under the Soviet Union. Now, the remnants of this once proud Jewish center are sowing the seeds of their rebirth. Jewish life, albeit with difficulties and complexities, is once again taking root. A student of the Vilna Gaon, Chaim Voluzin, once said, "God, in his mercy, sent a light to our generation, the angelic and holy man and teacher, Rabbi Elijah, the Vilna Gaon." Today, let us once more pray for light in the Baltics. Simonchik's toy car remains broken on his shelf, a reminder of the destruction. His toy car will never be whole again. Yet his work, his dedication, his passion, they all serve to ensure light, Torah, and a Jewish future. On the last night of my trip, I asked Simonchik why he dedicated his life to the Jewish community in the Baltics. Why not just move to Israel or the United States? He replied, "I know that it will probably never be like it once was here, but I have faith and hope that we can once again build something, a real Jewish community with many shuls and different types of rabbis, with many schools, with lots of learning, and with Jewish singing and dancing, with Jewish life. I am completely dedicated to the achievement of that goal, for at that time, I will know that we defeated Hitler and the Soviets." May the merciful God bless this vision and help us transform it into reality. Shabbat Shalom.